You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
Both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. It's like God saying, I'm going to judge because I can. Right? I'm God, you're not. Okay, verse 13 in closing. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. Now I want you to read the next sentence with me out loud, good and loud. Ready? And when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Are you searching for deliverance? Have you been stuck in a torrential downpour that won't let up? Much like God's deliverance of the Israelites from the oppression of the Egyptians, today's word from Pastor Jeff illustrates that God desires to redeem and liberate your life through the sacrificial blood of Jesus. His profound sacrifice can cleanse and purify, transforming you into a new creation. Just as the Israelites were led to freedom, let the redemptive grace of Jesus wash away your sins. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, as he begins his message, The Power of the Blood.
I believe the truth may not feel good at first, but it will sure save you in the end, right? And so we're headed to the road of the resurrection. Now, on the road of the resurrection, Jesus had to encounter the cross. Couldn't be resurrected unless he was killed. He wanted to circumvent the cross. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane and said, if there's any way out of this, if there's any way that I can circumvent the cross, the torture, I believe the thing he dreaded most was a temporary separation from the Father's presence. He didn't actually become lost, never. But he experienced, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was temporarily separated from his presence as he took your sins and mine onto himself. He wanted to circumvent that, but he ended up saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he went to the cross. Why in the world did he have to go to the cross? That's gruesome. I've read atheistic writings, and the atheist saying, well, if there's really a God of love, if God's a God of love, he would never send his son to be tortured on a cross. Well, of course, he didn't understand at all that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So I'm going to talk to you about why Jesus had to go to the cross. And I want to start into Exodus 12, verse 3. I'm going way back to the Old Testament. Let me just read a little bit to you about the people of Israel's deliverance from Egypt by the power of the blood. Then we're going to pray. God said to Moses, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb per household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, as was Christ. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Verse 7, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses, representing your heart and mine. Apply the blood to your heart. God said, here's why. Because I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. It's like God saying, I'm going to judge because I can. Right? I'm God, you're not. Okay, verse 13 in closing. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. Now I want you to read the next sentence with me out loud, good and loud. Ready? And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Powerful statement. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt, because I see the blood. Lord, thank you for your blessing on the word of God today. Open our eyes to why Jesus had to die. We thank you for the power of the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, there's power in the blood. There is power in the blood. We used to sing, there is power, power, wonder-working power. I can't sing. I wish I could sing better, because every once in a while I would whip into a solo up here. But I don't want to empty the sanctuary. I want you to stay. So I want to talk to you about the road to the resurrection, because it did have to go by way of the cross. No way out of the cross. Jesus had to go to the cross to go to the resurrection. I want to tell you why he had to die. Why did he have to die like that? Why? Why couldn't God just forgive us? Why couldn't God just decide to let us in? Why did Jesus have to die that way? You find the answer all the way back in Egypt to some of what we just read. Egypt had been in slavery for centuries. You know the story. Joseph got taken down there, sold away by his brothers. Then his family joined him. There ended up being 70 of them. And from that 70, a nation grew up in Egypt. And at first, the Pharaoh knew Joseph, and the second Pharaoh pretty well knew him, but his fame faded with new pharaohs. And the people of Israel became so numerous, so mighty, that the new pharaoh became threatened. And he said, if we leave them alone, they're going to multiply where they take over the land, and we're going to become subservient to them. So he said, the only answer is to make them into slaves. So they began to enslave the people of Israel. They weren't called to be slaves. They weren't called to that position. But for at least the last couple of centuries, maybe three centuries, of the four centuries they were in Egypt, they were there 400 years. For at least two or three of those centuries, they were slaves. They got up tired. They went out into the field tired. They carried stones, rocks. They were used as slaves to carry building blocks for what Egypt was building. Life became bitter. When they got up, they were tired. When they got home, they were tired. There was no life to speak of. It was the life of a totally subservient slave. They had no freedom, couldn't come and go as they wanted, ate what was given to them. They were allowed very little. And you know the story. Eventually, Pharaoh became so threatened, he ordered the death of every male child. And he began to commit infanticide. He mandated infanticide. And the midwives were supposed to take any male child born of the Israeli women and throw him into the river. And they refused. And God blessed them for refusing. It says in the Bible, God gave them their own houses because they refused to kill the children. What does that say to us today? Amen. And you know how Moses was born, and his mother finally put him in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter saw him, delivered him from the river. Moses' mother was allowed to raise him without Pharaoh's daughter knowing it was his mother. It was a God thing. She ended up raising the baby she let go of. You never know when you let go of something when it's going to come back, because she let go of Moses, and Moses came back. If God wants you to have it, it'll come back. If God wants you to have what you have to let go of, it will come back. It came back to Moses. And so it came back to Moses' mother. So Moses' mother raised Moses, and you know how he killed a man and had to flee Egypt. And for 40 years, he was on the backside of a desert raising cattle. And then he saw a bush that was burning that was not consumed. And he said, what is this? I need to see what this is, because that bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. How can this be? A voice speaks out of it. Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. He took off his sandals. He walks up towards the bush. God speaks to him, and God called a murderer to deliver his people. Do you know that over half the Bible was written by murderers? Yeah, let me tell you about it. Moses wrote the first five books called the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And he killed a man. He was a murderer. That's why he had to flee Egypt. David wrote most of the Psalms. But he had orchestrated the murder of a man to cover up his own sin. Paul killed Christians, yet Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Somebody say redemption. Somebody say forgiveness. Yeah. I mean, three murderers wrote a great deal of the Bible we love. Redeemed murderers, forgiven murderers, sanctified murderers, washed by the blood of the Lamb murderers. And they wrote it. Amen. That's free. That's not in the message. I just thought I'd toss that out. You know how God said, you're going to deliver my people. And he said, but I can't even talk good, good, good. And God said, you'll do whatever I tell you to do. I'll give you the ability. And so Moses went down there with the staff in his hand and took Aaron, his brother. And you know the story. After 10 plagues, the 10th plague was the deal maker, because the 10th plague was the death of all the firstborn of the Egyptians, right down to all the cattle. The Bible says God moved to deliver them by that final plague. He told Moses, he said, when I do this one, this 10th one, they're going to let you go. And they will not change their mind. They're going to let you go. And Moses, I want you to be ready. You tell the people, don't even take the sandals off your feet. Don't leaven your bread, because you're getting out of there. And when you get out of there, it's going to be fast. I can almost say to you today, keep your shoes on. The rapture could happen at any moment. At any time. Because God said, don't even take your shoes off, because when I go to set you free, it's going to happen fast. And so the Bible says, God did it. God did it. And he moved. And it says, it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. But while Egypt wept, ladies and gentlemen, God's people rested safely in their homes, untouched by it all, protected by the blood. Protected by the blood of the slain lamb. The blood that was put on the doorposts. When the angel saw the blood, he passed over. When the angel saw the blood, he did not strike that home. Now, I want us to see some parallels here in what happened in this story and where we are today. Because first of all, we note that when God told Moses, I want you to get the people ready with blood on the doorposts of their homes, because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. My judgment is coming. Now, it's not popular these days to stand in a pulpit and talk about judgment, and that's really sad, because it should be proclaimed from every pulpit. Listen, 100 years ago, you almost never heard a sermon that didn't talk about hell, heaven, judgment, the need to repent, the need to be born again. Christ is the only way. Get ready to suffer, deny yourself, sacrifice for him, be persecuted for him. But now we got all these feel-good messages that are leaving an entire generation of Christians totally unprepared for hard times. But here's the deal. God said, my judgment is coming. Now, again, judgment's not popular, but let me tell you something. You could hardly read a book in the Bible that you're not going to read about God's judgment. God is a God of love. He's a God of holiness. Because he's a God of holiness, he must judge. Sin is answered in only two ways in God's universe: by the blood of the Lamb shed for your sins and mine, or we will answer for our sins. But sin must be answered. It must be addressed. God cannot let sin go by without addressing it. Either by the blood of the Lamb, where it was addressed on the cross, that I'll talk about in a moment, or you will answer for your sin, but it must be addressed. Judgment was coming. And God was telling the people, I want you to be ready. And here's how you get ready. You put the blood on the doorpost of your house. That represents the heart. That represents the soul. That represents the life, because the door was the way in, and the soul is the way in to you and me. It's the gateway. And God said, I want the blood on the doorpost. And so I see a parallel here. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to realize that judgment is coming to this world. I said, judgment is coming to this world. There's no way around it. You say, well, Jeff, come on. Don't be so gloomy. This isn't gloomy. I'm telling you the truth so that if you don't know Jesus, you can get saved. We need to hear this. We need to realize that our God, it's that God. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. It's just Jesus put a face on him. Jesus made him approachable. But it's the same God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they're the same. They work in unison together. They do nothing outside of total perfect unity. And God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for sexual perversion. He judged the whole world in Noah's day because they were living apart from God and they were filled with violence and they never, ever, ever gave God the glory for anything. And the whole world was judged. That was the same God of the New Testament. That's God. He judges sin. And listen, he's already said he's going to judge sin. In our text, Egypt is about to face the fiercest judgment of the ten. It was showtime. This was the last one, the most serious one. And like Egypt of old, our world is about to experience the big one, the second coming of Christ. Let me read a few verses to you. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans 14:12. Every one of us is going to give an account of himself to God. What will I give an account for? What you did with your life that God gave you, the gifts he gave you, the grace and mercy he gave you, the forgiveness that he gave you. You're going to give an account for all the times that he opened the door to you and said, whosoever will, let him come. You're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account for what I did with the giftings and the gracings God put on my life to bless other people. So are you. We all are. If you're in Christ, you won't answer for sin, but you will answer for your works. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and that is when our works are tried by fire. We won't go to hell. Our sin is not going to be judged because our sin has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb if you're a believer. But God will judge the works. And if the works, if what you did with your life was to the glory of God, then God calls it gold, silver, and precious stones. But if what you did was to the glory of you and you wasted and squandered what God gave you, then it's wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be burned up. But you will be saved, yet only by the skin of your chinny chin chin. Are you with me? I know this is serious, but hey, folks, we're living in desperate, serious times. We need to know what the Bible says. And just as, here's another one, Hebrews 9:27. Just as it is appointed for all men once to die, once. And after that, the certain judgment. You're not coming back again. Buddhism lies to you about that. You don't go through an endless life cycle that just repeats throughout eternity. That's a lie of Buddhism. No, you die once. I die once. You're not coming back as a cricket or a frog or an animal or a bird. You're not coming back as a caterpillar or your favorite pet. You're not coming back. You're not coming back. Once you're gone, that's it. And you face certain judgment. And all of you out there watching online or listening on radio or social media later, I love you in Christ, but I want to tell you that you're going to die once. And as soon as you die, you're going to go into the presence of God. And one day we will answer. We will answer for our sin and what we did with our life if we're believers. If we're not believers, we'll answer for every sin we ever commit. He has appointed a day, Acts 17:31, on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, capital M, whom he has ordained. Well, who's the man? It's Christ Jesus. See, he came as the Lamb of God. He's going to return as the Lion of Judah. And when he returns, he's going to gather all the nations to himself. And he's going to separate sheep from goats, believers from non-believers. And he's going to judge the nations. And you will give an account. I will give an account. We'll answer for our life. So the Bible warns again and again that judgment is coming upon the human race, just like it did Sodom and Gomorrah, just like it did Noah's day, just like it did Egypt. And my question today is, are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that day? Luther said there's two days I respect, today and that day. I respect today because I have today. I don't know if I have tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. No guarantee of anything. But I respect today and I respect that day. That day is capital D day. That day. When we face God. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet your maker? Because we're all going to. I say it all the time, but I wish I could go on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSLSD, I mean MSNBC. I wish I could go on all of them and have 5 minutes with their audience and say, are you ready to meet your maker? Because your time is coming. Judgment is coming when it will be eternally too late. You won't get a second chance. You will not get a redo. You may have a great 401k retirement plan in place, but you're going to die. You might have a nice, comfortable home, but you're going to die one day and leave that home empty. You may have great friends. They're going to die. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, lift me up today. I am lifting you up today. I'm talking real. I'm talking real. You may have had a great report at your last doctor's visit. That's good. But one day you're still going to die. And after that, the judgment. So I came to give you an out. I came to open an exit door. I came to, if you're saved, then go out and be contagious and infectious when church is over today. Let's start a pandemic of salvation. A pandemic. I'm tired of hearing of the COVID pandemic. Let's do a pandemic of salvation, a pandemic of the move of God, a pandemic of people coming to Christ. The powerful and the hopeful message here is that because of the blood that was on the doorpost, Israel did not come under judgment. Let me tell you something. Let me clarify reasons why they weren't delivered. This is important. What didn't play a part in Israel's deliverance? They weren't saved because they were Abraham's descendants. That's not why they were saved. So they couldn't claim salvation by ancestry or salvation by pedigree. They weren't something spiritually special to God because they were descendants of Abraham to whom God gave the covenants. That's not why God set them free.
Where are you headed after this life? What are you even working towards as you toil day after day? In today's message, Pastor Jeff illuminated that heaven's a special place reserved just for you. Never forget the divine promise of a place prepared by God Himself, where you will dwell with Him in eternity. The anticipation of heaven is not just wishful thinking. It's a concrete reality woven into the fabric of your faith journey. Embrace this truth and be saved.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Wickwire, host of the Hardwire broadcast. And I'm so excited to tell you about this month's offer for you, our listeners. For a gift of $40 or more, we want to send you the beautiful new Bible put out by Tyndale called Immerse, the Reading Bible. Our offer contains a beautiful Reads Like Butter New Testament featuring the New Living Translation. The Immerse Bible New Testament contains no chapters, no verses, just like the original manuscripts in which the Bible was written, so that it reads more like a story. It also comes with an 8-week reading plan, maps, and a helpful summary of every New Testament book. So So if you want to try a really unique approach to your daily Bible reading, just go to hardwire.org and click Donate Now to give your gift of $40 or more. We'll send you the Immerse Bible immediately. And thanks once again for your support of Hardwire. Every dollar we receive will go toward reaching the world with God's Word.
Amidst the complexities of life stands a symbol of unparalleled mercy, the cross. In his next message, Pastor Jeff reminds you that to truly undergo a transformation and make a meaningful impact on those around you, you need to surrender yourself to the Lord. Leave your pride behind you and let the significance of the cross guide your journey. It's not just a symbol. It's a testament to the boundless love and salvation Jesus offers. Allow Him to penetrate your heart. That's all we have for today's edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. If you'd like a copy of today's message, you can download it from our website, hardwired.org. Be sure to tune in again as Pastor Jeff continues teaching through the book of Exodus, next time on Hardwired.